We've prayed already. Let me read to you from a couple of passages. Firstly, from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Feel free to turn to this in your Bibles if you'd like. You'll probably know this story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli the priest. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." And let me also read just, I've picked a few verses out of John chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking. "Sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." If you're visiting today, we're in a series called Hearing the Master's Voice, in which we've been looking and thinking about listening to God, whether we should even expect to hear from God. To which the answer was yes, absolutely. Why we should expect to hear from God? And the answer is, well, because he created and designed us for an intimate friendship with himself. How we need to develop our relationship with God beyond just a blind faith or a vague awareness of his presence. And last week we looked at some basic but vital things that we need to get serious about before we can expect him, before we can expect to hear him. So in order to hear God, we need, first of all, fairly obviously, to listen to him. We need to invite him and expect him to speak to us. We need to tune in to God. And we need to be ready to do something with what he tells us. Just as we're often not ready to do. Because if we're not ready to do something with it, then why would God bother speaking? Now let's just accept for a moment that God can speak to us in many different ways. I asked you right at the beginning of this series what some of the questions about hearing God were, and a number of the things you mentioned were things like, you know, how does God speak to us in dreams or visions or whatever. Well, let's accept for a moment that he can speak to us through other people. He can speak through an inner voice. He can speak through some special experience like a vision or a dream. He can speak through our circumstances. And he can speak through the Bible. And we can see examples of all of those in the Bible. All those ways of God speaking, we can see in the Bible. So what I want to look at today, and the question I want us to think about is this. How do we recognize the voice of God? When a word or a thought comes to us, however it's come, how do we know whether it is a word of God to us? Now, that's a really important question. Even if we are talking about something like a quotation from the Bible, because there are lots of things in the Bible that we can accept as being absolutely true and being words of God, and yet which aren't necessarily what God is saying to us right now. I'm not saying they're not true. I'm simply saying, is this what God is actually wanting to get through to us right now? So, for example, Exodus 20, verse 4 says this: "You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or on the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." So we can know at all times that God tells us not to worship an idol. It's a clear principle that we see again and again in the scripture, not just in that verse, but in lots of other places. But just because I read that verse out now, does that mean that God is particularly wanting to make that point to us right now? And taking that a step further, even a word-for-word quotation from the Bible can be put to a use that makes it only a message from your own mind or even from Satan. A single statement taken directly from the Bible can be used in ways that are not in line with the purposes of God and that go against any meaning that he might have in mind for us. So, for example, the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa used a number of different Bible passages to justify apartheid as being God's will, whereas we would say that is an evil travesty. That is the danger of taking Bible passages out of context. So to ask the question again, how do we know whether a particular word or thought is a word of God to us? How do we get from being in the position of Samuel in that passage that I read out a minute ago, who heard God calling him but didn't know who was speaking, to the position of being the sheep in the passage from John who recognized the shepherd's voice? Now, the simple answer to that question is by experience. And by experience, I don't mean some great level of intellectual expertise. I mean literally the experience of hearing God's voice in exactly the way that Jesus describes his sheep in John 10. How do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? Because they experience it all the time. And so the more we listen to and for God's voice, the easier we will find it to hear that voice, to recognize it, and to interact with it. Sometimes we think that if God spoke to us, we would automatically just know who is speaking without having to learn. But that is simply a mistake, and it's a really harmful mistake for those who are trying to hear God's voice. It leaves us totally at the mercy of any stray ideas we've picked up about what God's speaking is like. Clearly, Samuel didn't just know, and actually there are lots of times in the Bible where people just didn't know. Think of the person who is the closest and most intimate to you. When you first met them, you didn't recognize their voice. You had to learn it. And it is exactly the same with God. Even when he speaks to someone in an unusually dramatic way, when Saul was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, Saul started by asking, "Who are you?" And that was a very dramatic way. God's normal way of speaking is far more gentle than that. So at first, we need to be told that God is speaking to us and possibly even be helped to detect his voice. And only later do we come without assistance confidently to distinguish and recognize his voice as his voice. That ability only comes with experience. That isn't difficult. If sheep can learn to do it, then so can we. But Satan doesn't want you to know that, because it's in his best interest to make hearing God's word for an individual into some great mystery. It isn't supposed to be like that. When God speaks to you, it is not supposed to be like some sort of theological game of charades. Friedrich Meyer, this guy, was a Baptist pastor and evangelist in England in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He's one of the great names of the church. Before I tell you what he had to say about guidance, I found this fabulous quote from him this week. This is nothing to do with guidance, but it's just so good I wanted to share it. A few days before his death, Meyer wrote the following words to a friend. "I have just heard, to my great surprise, that I have but a few days to live. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have entered the palace. Don't trouble to write. We shall meet in the morning." Isn't that great? I love that. Anyway, the reason I mentioned Meyer is that one of the books he wrote is called The Secret of Guidance. And in it, he writes this. "The circumstances of our daily life are to us an infallible indication of God's will when they concur with the inward promptings of the Spirit and with the Word of God." In other words, what he's suggesting, and this is echoed by many other people, is that there are three tests, three points of reference that we can check when we're trying to determine what God wants us to do. Somebody else calls them the three lights. And they are circumstances, the circumstances we find ourselves in. That's Christine's oft-quoted phrase, "Facts are the finger of God." Impressions of the Spirit are inner promptings, and passages from the Bible. And when those three lights point in the same direction, it suggested, we can be sure that the direction in which they point is the one God intends for us. Now, I think that's quite helpful in general terms, especially for people who are quite familiar with God's voice and are looking to confirm an impression of what they think he's saying. But there are some limitations to that, because if you're not yet confidently familiar with God's voice, then those three lights can turn into a quick fix, a sort of spiritual gimmick. And if you try and use them as a mechanical formula for working out what God is saying, it isn't going to work. In fact, there's a danger that we can use them to get our own way, because those tests are interdependent. They're sort of circular. So, for example, you might have a spiritual or mental impulse or message to do something, and you want to test that by means of the Bible. But in order to correctly interpret what the Bible means and is saying, you need spiritual assistance from those same impulses and messages, because the Bible isn't just a textbook. It's not a reference book that we can just look up at facts and answers. It is the living Word of God, and we can only see its truth by means of the work of the Holy Spirit. Equally, if you're trying to work out circumstances and you're looking at whether a particular door is open or closed, you know what I mean by that. When situations create a door that's open for you to do something, if you're looking at whether a particular door is opened or closed, you don't know without some further guidance whether that door is being opened or closed by God or by Satan or by another human being. And that's what I mean by them being interrelated. So, if those three lights can't be used as a set formula for working out what God is saying, how can we use them? If you were here a few weeks ago, you will remember that I talked about how God does not expect us to be robots, just listening for a set of instructions from him. He's not created us like that. A life lived by listening to God speaking still requires our own judgment. We are still the ones who make the decisions about what to do in life. And the three lights are the things that we need to consider in the process of making a responsible judgment when we're trying to work out what to do. But they don't make the decision for us. It's a bit like the captain of a ship. If he needs to make a decision about something, he will ask for advice from his navigator and from his chief engineer and from his other officers. But at the end of the day, the responsibility for making that decision is still with the captain. Those things that we do, reflecting on the three lights of circumstances, of inner promptings, and of the Bible, turn out to be the very things that go into exercising responsible judgment. So as we reflect on our circumstances and on our impressions of the Spirit and on passages that we read in the Bible, we also listen for God's voice. But when God speaks and we recognize the voice as his voice, we do so because our familiarity with that voice enables us to recognize it. We do not recognize it because we are good at playing a guessing game about how the ways through which his direction come do or do not match up with each other. I'm going to keep this quite short today because although this is important, I think this is quite heavy stuff. I don't know about you, I've had to work quite hard to get this around my head, and I've had all week to do so, and you've only had 15 minutes. So I'm going to continue this one next week once you've had a chance to think all that through and digest it. Just to recap, the question I asked at the beginning was, how do we recognize God's voice when he speaks? And the simple answer is by experience. We learn to recognize it just as sheep learn to recognize the shepherd's voice. We can and we should use certain things as tools to double check the answer that we get. We can look at our circumstances. We can listen to our inner promptings. And we can look at what the Bible says. But none of those tools are the voice of God itself. And so what we're going to look at next time are the factors that distinguish the voice of God. There are lots of different factors that distinguish any one human voice from another. The quality of sound, the style of speech, whether it's passionate or cold or whining or demanding, the content of the message. You know, we use all those things and more to determine who is speaking. So what are the factors that distinguish God's voice? That's for next time. For now, let's pray. I am the good shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Father, thank you that your Son is our good shepherd. We do want to learn to recognize his voice. We want to get used to hearing and listening to that voice in our daily lives so that we can develop that intimate relationship of friendship with you that you've created us for. Thank you for people like Eli who guided Samuel when he didn't yet know your voice. Give us Elis who can guide us when we don't know you, don't know it's you that we're hearing. So during this week to come, help us to listen and to hear and to recognize your words to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.